We're gathered together this afternoon to worship God and to honor the memory of our beloved departed brother. Before we begin our worship service, I've asked a couple of the elders if they would come forward and just say a few words about Jack. I've been the pastor of Providence Presbyterian Church now. It'll be 7 years in June. And when I arrived those 7 years ago, there were two men in this church that I knew. And Jack is the second of those that I've officiated at the burial of. The other was Chuck LeSueur. But I remember when standing out in that hallway, I was doing what we Presbyterians call candidating, and meaning I was on my best behavior, and also meaning I was scared to death what kind of bloopers I would make that would just make this whole thing, you know, not work. And I remember Jack come up to me, and I remember Jack from many, many years before that. I had spent 10 years ministering in Texas, you see, and then back to the area. And Jack come up to me and gave me a great big hug, and I felt better right away and knew that everything would be just fine. In the 7 years that I've got to know Jack, that's pretty much been the story. We're not a young church particularly, and we're not an old church particularly. Providence Presbyterian Church has a good number of senior saints, and it has a real good number of little tiny saints too. And that can present certain challenges in terms of holding the whole thing together. This is also a church where we have new folks come in virtually every week. A lot of times young families in their 20s and 30s, and God calls some of those to become a part of our church family. And one of the challenges there also is, you know, if you're a member of a church, whether you're an old member of a church, or especially if you're a new member of a church, you know it's hard to feel at home. It can be real hard to feel welcomed. I don't think I have ever met a man with Jack's ability to reach out to people of every age. Jack had my wife and my family over to his home for dinner real soon after arriving. We've been there a couple times since that as well. And Jack and I would, in his stronger days, would go out about three times a month for lunch. And I know there were many others that he would go out with. But one of the things in particular that I would notice was how Jack would make a point of getting to know new people and letting them in. Letting them in the church, letting them in his life. And that's the way that I'm going to remember Jack. Jack was just a real blessing to me. I come from a real small family. I'm the second oldest, and I ain't that old. I'm the second oldest living person in my entire family. So I kind of go around looking for, you know, looking for a dad or a granddad or somebody. And Jack was really that for me, too, since I've been here. And I learned to love Jack. So this really is a service today of praise and thanksgiving to God for his gift in giving us Jack, and also of hope, because funerals really aren't about the dead. Margie, you said it, didn't you? Jack's not here. And we'll talk later on where he is a little bit more about that. Funerals are about the living. It's about thanking God, and it's about facing the fact that we're all mortals, aren't we? So we want to think about that today as well. But before we start the service, I want to ask a couple of elders, and I believe Bill Challoner, our youngest elder, is going to have a couple of words to say to us. Bill?
Much better than I do. I think it was probably about 5 years ago when I first began to get to know Jack.
Bill, let's see if that mic is working. We're not sure. Thank you for waiting from the back. That helps. Just turn it on.
Can you hear
us,
Keith?
I can't tell. You can't tell what the problem is?
How does that sound? Can you hear me? okay. So Jack called us one evening and explained that he as an elder had a shepherding group, and we were a family in his group, and would we be interested in going out to dinner with him one evening, which we were delighted to do, and that was the first of many opportunities we had to have dinner together with him. We set up a time to meet him at the China Palace in Swickley, and we all arrived and sat down and spent several minutes studying the menu, and Jack picked out a dish called Three of Fire and ordered that. And I don't remember what we ordered, but I know that's what Jack ordered, because every time we ate there, regardless of how much time we spent looking at the menu, that was what he always picked out. So that began an hour or so of having a pleasant conversation with him. We talked about many different things. Of course, we talked about the church. We talked about our family. He was very interested in my family and my boys, wanted to know, you know, what they were doing in school, their outside interests, summer projects, everything. He was also very interested in my work, which is unusual since I work in a technical field. But he would frequently pick out newspaper clippings from the Wall Street Journal or other papers and bring them to me to look at when he saw them in my area. We also talked about his family and the things that he and Polly had done. I remember him talking about the time that they went to Europe and met Edith and Francis Schaefer. And subsequently, the Schaefers actually came back to Pittsburgh for some medical care one time and stayed with the Todds in their home. And it was clear that Francis Schaefer had a very deep impact on Jack, on his spiritual life and his understanding of Scripture. Jack was also part of a small Bible study group that meets in Swickley from our church. We meet two Sundays a month, two Sunday evenings. And while he was able, he was a regular attender at that study group. I remember one evening in particular where we were meeting at his home in his living room. In fact, probably he had hosted hundreds of Bible studies and fellowship groups in his home over the years, he and Polly. That particular evening, as we drew to the close of the Bible study part, he needed to get up and stretch his legs, and so he left the room quietly, and I didn't pay much attention to that. He was gone for several minutes, and then he came back just before we began our time of prayer, and as he walked by my chair, he whispered to me, "The Steelers are winning." he loved to watch Steelers football. But, of course, his love for the Lord and our church was much greater. When I started going to session meetings, Jack was already in his 90s. He was an elder emeritus, and yet he still regularly came to every meeting each month. He would drive himself to the church, and then about 8:30 or 9, when we took our break, he would ask to be excused, and he would drive himself home. And as it became clearer that it was getting difficult for him to drive here, we strongly encouraged him to let us bring him, but he very rarely would take us up on it. I was afraid that if we brought him here, then one of us would have to take him back and miss the last part of the meeting, and he didn't want to do that. Some of us, I think, since these meetings often lasted till midnight, we were kind of hoping that we could, but... I remember one meeting when Jack showed up before the meeting started and went up to Pastor Bailey's table and picked up a docket from the stack on his table and went back and sat down. And then Pastor Bailey, a few minutes later, decided to call the meeting to order, but he was looking around and obviously couldn't find something. And he turned to Jack and he said, "Jack, do you have my copy of the docket?" And Jack looked at him and said, "No, I have my copy of the docket." And Pastor Bailey said, "Jack, my docket has my notes on it, which I need to moderate this meeting." And after a few seconds of thinking about it, Jack said to him, Well, since I'm such a nice guy, I'll let you have my copy of the docket. Jack was always very sharp and quick to have comebacks like that. He was keenly interested in the church, and I remembered, I'll just share one memory of that. For probably the last 9 months or a year, he hasn't been able to come regularly to the church service, but he still always wanted to know everything that was going on. He wanted us to bring by bulletins every Sunday so that he could see the what was happening in the service and read the announcements, and I think particularly look at the prayer requests, because he wanted to know who was sick or who was going to have a baby or whatever. And I remember last fall, one time after church, I was talking to Courtney Kerr, and she told me that Jim, her husband, who's a pilot with U.S. Airways, had been transferred to Philadelphia, and that they would probably be moving shortly or in the future. Well, several weeks went by, and Jack was determined that he would get to a morning worship service. Mornings were a particularly difficult time for him at this point to get going, but he was really wanting to go. So this was probably in December sometime, and he got ready and he made it. It was the last service that he actually ended up making it to. I remember as he was leaving the service afterwards, walking slowly down this aisle, he ran into Jim Kerr. And the first things he said was, "A young man, I hear you're moving to Philadelphia." And just showed how much he, you know, remembered and was interested in the people of this church. So, a couple weeks ago, my wife and my son and I were blessed to be able to share a dinner with him at his home. We had Chinese takeout. We had three of fire. And we spent a couple hours that evening talking with him. He actually looked better than he'd looked in many weeks. And it's very difficult for me to even now realize that he's gone. I think, you know, just to mention, there are many things that we could learn from him in his life, but two things that I think about are, of course, his hospitality, he and Polly both, and secondly, his perseverance in the faith. Even though he had retired at a young age from his secular job, he had never retired from his Christian faith. He had been used by the Lord in this church in many ways to bless this church, and he was faithful up to the end. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill. So we'll go from the youngest to Jerry. Timberlake, would you?
Good afternoon. My name is Jerry Timberlake, and as has been noted, I am the oldest elder here at Providence Presbyterian Church and a good friend of my brother, Jack Todd's. I first met Jack and Polly some 34 years ago, about the time that Jack was retiring as executive vice president of U.S. Steel. They were looking for a church home, and has been noted by Bill, Jack's famous friend, Dr. Francis Schaefer, had referred him to the Presbyterian Church in America. At that time, we were worshiping at Union United Presbyterian Church, just about a couple of miles from here, and were contemplating leaving that denomination to join the PCA. When we finally did leave, Jack and Polly were a member of the first new members class and therefore were considered founding members of this church. Jack and I, several years later, became elders here and served you know, many years together. While Jack and I were friends, we were not particularly close until our later years, because I was working and Jack was retired. But when I retired in 1999, Jack and I decided that we would have lunch together every week. And we rarely missed lunch, and our relationship grew through those years. We talked about many things at lunch. We talked about world affairs, and we solved absolutely nothing there. We talked about politics, and I think it's pretty obvious that we had zero impact on this political system that of ours. But most of all, we talked about spiritual things. And quite frankly, we didn't solve anything there either, because our great triune God, before the foundation of the world was formed, God the Father developed this marvelous plan of salvation. And God the Son, some 2,000 years ago, executed that marvelous plan of salvation for sinners such as you and me. And then, for me, some 33 years ago, God the Holy Spirit changed my heart of stone that could not believe into a heart of flesh that not only could believe, but would believe, because His grace is irresistible. So while Jack and I didn't solve many world affairs or political or spiritual matters at lunch, we really had a great time doing that. But of one thing I am convinced, and that is that my good friend Jack Todd knew and loved the Lord Jesus Christ so much. And if he could say anything to his immediate family, to his Providence family, or to his friends that are here today, right now, he would urge you to listen carefully to God's word proclaimed and believe even as he believed.
Thank you, Jerry. We've gathered together also this afternoon that we might worship God, and the Word of God tells us that we are utterly unable to do that unless the Holy Spirit of God comes into our hearts and brings us before the living God. So let's just take a moment now and let's ask God to bring us into His presence.